Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Thanksgiving. The owner of a large department store offered a prize of $5,000 to the one giving the best answer to the question, "How can my business be most speedily and surely improved?" Many students of economics submitted different lengthy answers. Roy McCardle received a check for $5,000 for simply writing on a postal card, "Tell your clerks to say thank you." Thank you, often neglected. It's right that we say thank you to other people, but it's right that we give thanks to God. Because everything that we have comes from God, ultimately. Take a look at the profound words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." You've heard the old expression, there is no U-Haul behind a hearse. Albeit a couple of years ago, I did watch a U-Haul pull out of the Coral Ridge Cemetery. I had to laugh boisterously. Somebody did take it with them, I guess. I don't know. That's true. I really did see that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it is right that we would praise Him from whom all blessings flow. Whatever you have came from God. He formed us out of the dust of the ground, and one day we're going back to the dust. But our soul will live on forever. Let me quote, "Thankfulness the source of dedicated service." Not only is thankfulness the spring of joy, it is also the source of dedicated service. And that is why the service of the Christian is perhaps the freest service in the world. We've all heard of the slave who, after years of slavery, was purchased by a stranger and set free, and how he fell at the liberator's feet and offered him all his service for the future. And we do not need to read how that new service, offered freely from a grateful heart, was richer than all the service of the past. Once he had toiled because he had to toil. Now he toiled because he loved to toil. Once he had done his work in daily fear. Now he did it in daily gratitude. And that swift change of motive in his heart, from the haunting terror of the lash to love, made all the difference in what he did. It made all the difference to him, and it makes all the difference to us. Service is changed down to its very depths when we realize that we have been redeemed. And when we realize that we have been redeemed, not with gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, we can each say every morning that we awaken, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." My brother and sister, be ye thankful. It may be a secret you have never learned. Think of all you owe to God in Christ, you who are less than the least of all the saints. So shall there come new peace into your life, a happiness to which you are a stranger, a passion to do little ere the night fall for Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. Thankfulness will change your whole outlook on life. Further, thankfulness is the secret of happiness. Again, I quote, "This grace of thankfulness is diligently cultivated in one of the secrets of true happiness. It is not happy people who are thankful. It is thankful people who are happy. Happiness does not depend on what we have, else those who have the most would be the happiest. As a matter of fact, how often do we find that those who have the most are not the happiest? Happiness does not depend on what we have. It rather depends on our point of view, and he who has won the thankful point of view is always on the highway to gladness. No one who murmurs is ever really happy, and no one who worries is ever really happy. They have forgotten God and left Him out, and to leave Him out is to leave out the music. And it is only when, through Christ our Savior, we come to see His loving hand in everything that we win the thankful, grateful heart without which nobody can ever be glad. Ungrateful people are never happy people. They are always discontented. The more we are thankful for our everyday mercies, the more does life become a joyful thing. And that is why the Christian life is always joyful, because everything the years may bring to us, Christ makes it possible for all who trust Him to cultivate the thankful spirit. The tiniest gift from somebody we love is of more value than many a costly offering. We take it gratefully just because love is there, and taking it gratefully, it makes us happy. So when we learn, as every man can learn, that God is love and that in Him we live, there is a worth in things we never saw before. The way to be glad is to be grateful, and the way to be grateful is to trust in God, to trust in Him as Jesus trusted Him on that night on which He was betrayed. Thus grows the assurance there is no mistake. He is watching, guiding, guarding, blessing us, which, when a man has learned, he ceases murmuring and finds that being thankful, he is glad. Are you thankful? It will change your life. I would challenge you on a regular basis throughout the day, remind yourself to be thankful. It's easy when something is on the positive side, but be thankful even when it's on the negative side. Be thankful. When you're cut off in traffic, be thankful you have a car. Be thankful you didn't have an accident. Be thankful that there's a highway for you to go down, and on and on and on. Be thankful. It will change your life. In Los Angeles, a parking citation with a $5 bill attached arrived at the Traffic Fine Bureau. An accompanying note said, "I found this ticket on the sidewalk, not knowing if the car owner had ever seen it. I would like to make the remittance for him, in gratitude for the occasions when I have parked over the allotted time and not received a ticket." Are you thankful? Do you show it? Do you say thank you? I want to briefly consider Psalm chapter 116 as we think about thankfulness and how to express our thankfulness to God. The psalm opens up with the circumstances. Psalm chapter 116:1, we see that the psalmist is in a terrible condition. "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow." He is writing this after God has delivered him. He called on God, verse 4, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low. He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." Talking to himself. How do you talk to yourself? Did anybody say, "What are you thinking?" Nothing. Not true. You're always thinking something. Always. You're always thinking something. Be careful what you think about. Verse 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." This apparently was a tremendous burden. But I want you to see what this psalmist says in verse 9. "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted." Have you ever been in a tremendous situation and out of your mouth comes something that shouldn't have come out? Look what the psalmist confesses. Verse 11, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Whoops. But he admitted it. "I didn't really mean that. Sorry I said it." He says in verse 9, "I will walk before the Lord." But in verse 12, he's going to develop that further. Read verse 12, and this is the essence of our message here. "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? Well, he says in verse 9, I'm going to walk before the Lord. But I want us to see some things, very briefly, what this psalmist is going to do to show his thankfulness. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? What can we possibly say to an almighty God? What can we possibly do to express our thankfulness? First of all, the psalmist says he's going to claim the promise of God and call on Him in times of trouble. Look at verse 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I believe when we talk about salvation there, I believe it can be twofold. Number one, to the unsaved. And the unsaved is in a terrible condition. And the Lord is the one that can deliver. Take hold of deliverance from the consequences of your unsaved condition. And I believe that also speaks to the saved. Have we not been brought through the valley of the shadow of death? And He says, I will claim the Lord. He's going to save me out of this. And so it is, the psalmist first says, I'm going to claim the promise. Take the cup of salvation that God is offering. I don't know how He's going to get me out of this, but I claim it. And I'm going to call on Him. So it is in all of its simplicity. Do you want to show your thanks? Accept what God is doing for you. Call on Him and watch Him bless. Second, the psalmist says he's going to commit and fulfill those commitments before the Lord and men. Verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Let's stop there. I perceive what he is saying when he was going through his time of trouble. Lord, if you get me out of this one, I promise. I have seen that. I can think of one very sad condition where there was a severe illness in a family. And I went to the hospital, and it was the son in bed, and the father was there, and he says, I promise God, if he sees my son through this. God saw his son through that. And I don't think I ever saw him again in church. He says, I will vow my vows. He says here, unto the Lord. I'm going to do it before the Lord, but also in the presence of all his people. I am going to do it so people can see. I'm going to commit myself publicly. You'll see my thankfulness to God in my behavior. That's how much I want to make sure I'm going to let you folks hold me accountable to be thankful. Here we see in verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I believe the psalmist who had said that his soul was nigh unto death, he is saying, God knew I almost died in this situation, but my life was precious and God spared it. Did you know God cares about your life and death? And it is in his hands. And the psalmist is saying, you know what, I almost died. But God knew my life, and my life is precious to him. If he takes me, he's got purpose, and if he leaves me here, he's got purpose. Oh, Lord, verse 16, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Did you know when people repeat themselves, they mean it? And when God records it, he wants us to know it. And the son of thine handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. He is showing his humble condition, and God set him free. God knows his servants, knows their condition. He hears their cry, and he answers their prayer. The third thing he does is, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Verse 17, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Sacrifice. How can you offer sacrifice? Well, because you admit it was nothing that I did. I thank you because you did it all. And that's what we're saying to God when we say, thank you. You're the one that did it. And I sacrifice. I take no credit whatsoever. I give it all to you. And I find the fourth thing that our psalmist does is very interesting. He repeats himself. He repeats the second promise that we saw. Take a look at Psalm 116, verse 14. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Look at verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He repeats himself. I have vows, and I want the people to see it, but I want you to see what he does in verse 19. He expands it. Not only is it going to be in the presence of all his people, it's going to be in the courts of the Lord's house and in the midst of thee, all the readers, O Jerusalem, God's holy city. And he is saying in God's courts, in the presence of the people, among the Jewish people, I am going to show my thankfulness. This is a vow. And people are going to see in my life the joy of the Lord. And I want it to be a testimony to the goodness of God. The psalmist gave credit to God for his deliverance. He saw the reality of God in his life. And he didn't take for granted or coincidence, well, God, I mean, it just happened to work out. God had me in such a position that only he could get me out, and he did it. I'm still alive. I saw the hand of God move. He vowed to not forget what God did. Therefore, he penned these words for us to read. He declared his intentions to God, and he demonstrated his gratitude before men. He was not ashamed to say God did it. Before he was afflicted, he had a limited relationship with God. But he didn't get angry and bitter through his hardship. He saw God, and God blessed him. In essence, the psalmist determined to let nothing, including the hardships of life, hinder or interfere with his thanksgiving to God. For he learned that God will see him through the difficulties of life, even if that is the valley of the shadow of death. Thanksgiving. Are you thankful? Life is so very good, and all we can see is the guy that cut us off in traffic. Going home with a trunk load of groceries, and we're upset. People would die, risk their lives to be here. My dear wife works for a dentist who fled Cuba. And to hear her tell her story really can bring tears to your eyes. And I cannot imagine what it's like to be willing to risk the life of your family at sea, then spend one more day in your country. Folks, we are so blessed. Let us be thankful people. The greatest thing that God has given us is our salvation. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If he didn't do anything else for you, he's done enough. That's you. That's me. Let that billfold represent sin. God loves you. He hates the sin. And he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to pay the sin debt of the world, your sin, my sin, everybody's sin. And when you put your trust not in your good works to take care of that sin debt, but in the work of Jesus, I get it. He died for me. The moment you believe that, you have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that's you, but he hates the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son, God in the flesh, to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in his work of redemption for their salvation shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This message was quick. There's much that could be said about thanksgiving. Christian, I challenge you to be thankful for everything, all the time. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I challenge you. Think it through. Do the homework. Do you understand the importance of trusting Christ? It will affect your eternity. If I'm wrong, you have nothing to lose. If I'm right, you have everything to lose.
This is Pastor Rod Hollard. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.